Okay. I've got 3:01 on my clock, so we'll go ahead and begin. And Carla has graciously volunteered to ground us before we begin today's call. So whenever you're ready, Carla.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everybody. Would you please sit or stand and with both your feet grounded on the ground? And then take a long, deep breath.
Hi, it's Hillary.
Breathe in and let the breath go to your feet. And then breathe slowly out to all your chakras. Let the air go out to the seventh chakra. Breathe in to the feet. Big, long, fresh air. And then breathe out and visualize that it goes through all your chakras. The first one, second one, third, heart chakra. Fifth, and then to the seventh chakra. Out. For the third and last time, take a big deep.
Hello, is this Tasha talking?
Hey, Genevieve, no, we're in the grounding with Carla.
Oh, okay, sorry. Whoa, I couldn't hear anything. It was just going in and out. Sorry.
Okay. Go ahead, Carla. It's a little bit jumbled, but go ahead.
Okay. Take one last big breath all to your feet. And then breathe out again. Visualize it going through all your chakras. First one, and then the last one. The second chakra. And breathe out. Feel your whole body. Active, but it's relaxed as well. And it's perfectly clean and present because of all the new oxygen that you brought in. Thank you so much.
Carla,
yes,
thank you. Just so you know, it's a little bit jarbled.
You couldn't hear me well? Hello?
You may want to call back in.
Do you want me to call back again?
Are you guys hearing an echo?
Yeah, I can't hear anything.
Okay, you guys stay put. I'm going to manage the bridge line. I'll be right back. Because I don't know where it's coming from. Is it okay right now? Sounds like it's better
okay.
Right now.
It's okay now. I don't hear the echo anymore. This is Carla. Do I still have the echo?
No, you still sound fine. I just want to make sure I sound clear. Okay, so thank you for the grounding. Welcome, everyone, to the call. Hope you've had a great week. And I think Randy is traveling, but I see that he is on the line, so but muted. So, Randy, welcome if you're with us. And I would love for three people to share what their week was like in terms of a win, a challenge, and then one of the two action challenges that you took in the yoga supplement from last week. So who would like to begin our conversation?
Okay, this is Carla. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you, Carla.
Okay, let's see. I don't know if it's really something, but I succeeded. My success of the week is that I succeeded in being present in almost all conversations that I had last week. Usually, I'm not present all the time, especially when I'm talking to different people in a group. I'm wandering off, and this week I succeeded in being there, being present, and just observe and listen and don't go away daydreaming. And the challenge this week was to keep my boundaries, like my timetable. And especially with one friend, she has a rough time right now. And every time I see her, she has a lot of things to discuss and to tell and the obstacles she's dealing with. And this week I met her twice, and both times I managed to keep my, to give her the attention that she needed, but when I have to leave, to really tell her, okay, I have to leave now, let's make an appointment for Friday to discuss it further. And that's the first time that I really do that. I only keep my timetable so tight when it's work concerned and not private. It's the first time since a long, long time that I succeeded to do it, that it was a challenge. I found it difficult because I know I hadn't anything important to do afterwards except for my reading that I want to do every day, but I did it anyway.
Wonderful. And one of your action challenges in the yoga supplement?
That's my smart goals?
No. The yoga supplement, part of the homework was to read lesson 3 and take one of the action challenges on page 4. But if you didn't do that, that's okay.
No, I did.
Okay, great.
The challenge, for instance, the one, what does it mean to have a servant's heart?
Yes, you can choose that one, absolutely.
Okay. A servant's heart on the mat is when I am able to listen to my body and to adjust whatever needs to be adjusted to be able to enjoy the practice like a dance, to completely be one and not forcing anything.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Who would like to go next? Maybe I think at this point everyone has had the opportunity to share, so just feel free to jump in, especially if you're feeling called to speak.
This is Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
Mine was kind of, my win was a combination win challenge. So I'll start with the challenge part. I've been working with a client for the last about month and a half, 2 months, and about 2 weeks ago, in conjunction with a lot of the work that we've been doing in this course, I realized that he was constantly coming to our sessions without an agenda, and no matter how hard I worked, there wasn't any clarification, and I kept picking up just some really, really deep issues. And I knew after my session last week and after our call, and again, different readings I've been doing, that I needed to have a conversation with him in terms of the reality that coaching was probably not the best activity to help him move forward at this point. And it was a difficult conversation for me to enter into but we actually had it about an hour and a half ago, and it went really, really well. And he actually was very grateful. I felt a real resonance with what I've picked up on in our literature about the integrity and the difference between coaching and counseling and consulting. So it was a huge experiential exercise for me. So that was my win and my challenge. And then the action challenge I reflected on, well, both of them, but I'll choose the first about describe a situation outside the studio when someone was not authentic, and how did that impede your ability to connect with them? How did that impact your relationship? And I reflected on an ongoing situation with a person who a year ago she's my housemate now, but she had presented herself in a way that was, I would tell her what I liked and what my expectations were, and all of her answers ended up being kind of people-pleasing in the sense that I think she was telling me what she thought I wanted to hear because she wanted to live here in my home. And so over the months, it was very apparent that she, for whatever reason, was not able to just show up authentically in the sense of saying how she was and what her behaviors and her lifestyle really was. And it's created a tremendous amount of kind of what's been unnecessary angst and difficulty in maneuvering through this reality. But it's provided me with a tremendous opportunity to be able to show up again in a way that's authentic for myself. And we have been able to break through some pretty serious issues and still remain housemates. So it was just a really good lesson that I need to go into relationships completely open. You know, what you see is what you get, kind of.
Right.
And not
and
be depending. Yeah.
Right, and that in itself can be challenging too, but I'm glad the work's resonating. And with you, Carla, too, I meant to just sort of say a few things after you spoke. But, Jamie, you're going to be, this session's going to really resonate with you if you're talking about agenda, because that's all about what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So interesting that you already had the conversation, but maybe some of the reading has helped, and that sounds like what it was like. So great. Thank you for sharing. We'll take one more.
I'll share. Joyce.
Okay. Thanks, Joyce.
Okay. I had a great week, by the way. So it was hard to find, choose which good thing. But something happened yesterday, sort of organically. I met a friend of mine who I've known for several years, and it was just a girlfriend lunch. But she said something. I asked a question, and something came forth from her, which I could see was a real issue that she wanted to talk about. And in the past, we probably would have discussed this, but not really gotten anywhere. So I said, could you come back to my house right now, and let's go through one of the coaching sessions and just see what happens. So we did, and I followed the guidelines, asked the questions, and we actually made some progress and came up with a small goal, and we really got somewhere. So,
wow.
I loved it. I mean, felt good about that. As far as a miss, I think the miss was within me. I had dinner guests that were coming over Friday night. And so I always get pretty excited about this and spent the whole day cooking and trying to put as much love and care and good wishes into the food I was preparing. And then at the last minute, something came up and they couldn't come. And all that love and good wishes and good humor sort of just went out the window. Yeah, it's so bummed, like so bummed. And I know that they couldn't control that, and evidently I couldn't control my response because I was, like, pretty much bummed the whole night. So that was a little piece of information that didn't make me proud of myself that it happened. As far as, like, the action challenge, you know, on the mat, off the mat, being present and so forth, you know, I did that, but something happened to me that I think illustrates it quite a bit. I was walking down the street in my neighborhood last week, and I could see an elderly lady who was there walking with her caretaker, and I had never seen this lady before, but as I came closer to her, she noticed me and looked at me and came, I mean, she probably was demented, I guess, I don't know, but the clarity in her eyes when she looked at me, she said something to me, she touched my hair, and then she blew me kisses as she walked away. I have never felt so loved and so seen by a perfect stranger ever. I mean, it just floored me, really. It's like I was, if I could have that kind of presence and that kind of effect on people that I come in contact with, that would be such a gift. Mm. So I think that kind of says it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thanks for sharing. And just a comment I'd like to make is that when your dinner plans fell through with your company coming over, I am sure you infused yourself and your house with all the love and the energy and the humor that you put into your cooking. So just another perspective on that. And then secondly, on meeting with this woman on the street, this stranger, you, the energy that you exude allowed her to be, feel safe and to be able to connect with you. So that's just my perspective. So just to take that in. But I'm really glad for those of you that spoke, and I'm hopeful for those of you that didn't. And just for time, for time constraints, you know, we just want to take a few, but it sounds like the material is really resonating and that it's beginning to show up in not only in your personal lives, but also in the way that you are taking on these coaching sessions. So I'm really happy about that. All right, well, thank you guys for sharing. And thank you all for sending the acknowledging the certification requirements. If you haven't sent that, I'll need that, just acknowledging that by the end of today. That would be great. And I just want to check in with any of the group and see if there were specific questions on the reading material before we dive into our discussion today. Anything that came up that you have questions around? Okay, great. Let's all turn in our books to page 83 before we get into what the syllabus states we are discussing. I just want to have a brief discussion, really brief discussion, around voice. And I know not everyone on the call is a yoga teacher, and that's not a requirement because we do use our voice in all aspects of our work and our life. And but just using the yoga as an example, even as a student, when you're in a class and you resonate with a teacher in terms of their voice, I just want to talk a little bit about why voice is so important on the mat, and then how it translates to why it's so important in this coaching relationship. So does anybody want to share maybe an experience that you've had where you...
Sue,
great. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Yes, voice. We have some new teachers at our studio, and you would not think that Amy would, you know, be such a wonderful teacher, but her voice was so awesome. It was so soothing, and she, you know, She was very calm, and I think it's very important that you can project confidence, make your students, your clients feel secure by your voice. So if your voice is too high, too low, too mousy, whatever, you know, people cannot resonate with that. So you want to just think about listening to yourself or recording yourself so that you could really hear what you sound like, because that is a big piece in teaching yoga and yoga class, and I believe in coaching also.
That's awesome. That's tremendous insight. Thank you for sharing. And I just want to ask you, how did it make you feel when you were a student in her class? Sue, you still there? Can anybody hear me?
I can.
Yes, okay. I can hear
you. Let's see, Sue. I think she got dropped off the call. Okay, she'll be back. I took that little thing out that tells you when people left, so you guys don't have to know what's happened, but I do know. Okay. She's hopefully will be back with us. All right. So, so it's really important to find your voice. And I think, suggestion of recording your voice, we invite people to do that during teacher trainings. And just to, you know, you don't need to hire a voice coach or anything like that, but just to see how you come across, where you can, really go from good to great. I know for me, I still work on my right, that silence in between, not so much in the yoga studio anymore, but it's, we all have our stuff to work on, right? But I think recording yourself is a fantastic tool to continue to find that power in your voice. And as it shows us on page 83 and 84, these are the things we're looking for. It's like, how does your voice come across in terms of energy? How does it come across in terms of tone, your pace and your rhythm? Are you talking too fast? Are you talking too slow? And then finally on page, the next page 84, your inflection. So all these things combined, like Sue was sharing about this yoga teacher, really serve to have that student or client a wonderful experience. So yes, this is a really huge piece of becoming a coach. Are there any questions on voice, or is anyone on this call not, hasn't had an experience of speaking in front of a group, no matter what that group is? Okay. So it sounds like we've all had the experience of talking in front of groups. Any challenges that you guys find?
It's Sue. I speak in front of in class and in a group, and but I still have performance anxiety. I don't know where it comes from. Okay, but
you and Barbara Streisand. So you're in good company.
I know. And Carly Simon. Right. And Carly Simon, yes, the two. Yeah, the two greats. And I, you know, consider myself, you know, pretty good yoga teacher, but I still get performance anxiety. So,
what is the best way that you can improve that or get more comfortable in that space?
I breathe. I take a deep breath, and I just forge right through it. But you would never know that I am that I have performance anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But I just breathe through it,
right.
And I envision myself in the class or as a teacher, but, you know, I'm sure Barbara and Carly have the same, you know, feelings, you know. So, but it truly is a real deal, performance anxiety.
Well, it's great that you've named it, and it's continuing to practice, and the breath can serve us anywhere and everywhere in our lives. And that's where the yoga piece comes in. So thank you for sharing. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. All right. Let's all turn to page 103, please. We're going to get directly into our agenda. No pun intended. Our specific agenda is fulfilling the client's agenda. So on page 103, just to start off, you know, so we've heard three calls, two led by me and one led by Randy last week. And just so you know, the agenda is the starting place in every single session. Because without it, without a clear agenda to guide the session, it's going to meander aimlessly. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So on page 103, hang on again, hang on, you guys, you don't hear that echo. Okay, are we here? I don't know where that echo comes from. All right. So page 103. You guys hearing that echo?
No. Yeah, there's an echo.
Yeah,
we got it.
I don't know where it's coming from. If everyone could put yourself on mute for a moment. Star 6. Okay, and I will continue to talk. And it looks like we're okay here. Carla, you're still on, correct?
Yes, I'm here, Sasha.
Okay. All right, everyone can unmute. Or you can stay on mute, doesn't matter. I have never had so many technical difficulties. So here we go. It's not Carla, it's somebody. I'm just going to try to find out where it's coming from.
Testing. This is Sue, and I am on mute, so I don't know who it is, but I am on mute.
Testing. 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 Okay. Let me just try to get through this. I don't know where it's coming from. I've muted all of you and then unmuted, and it's still there.
I don't hear any echo.
Who is this?
Genevieve.
Genevieve, you don't hear any echo?
Not at all.
Might be you. Okay.
You're telling me.
All right, so we'll continue. Page 103, clarifying and specifying the agenda. This is, I have to be quite honest, this is incredibly frustrating because I don't want to waste anyone's time. Let's go ahead and put everyone on mute, and then when you choose to talk, you guys come off mute, okay? I think that's the best way to manage this right now. Okay. Great. There we go. Hopefully you all can hear me. So the top of page 103, the three things that must be fully present for Artful Coaching to take place, and this is that the coach is fully focused on the client. The client is willing to be coached, and the client has brought a particular agenda for this session. So, like I said, we've had three calls already, three demo sessions, and our coach-to-coach sessions, and I want to just check in with you to see what your knowledge is or your memories of those sessions are in terms of the agenda and why it's so important to begin there. And if you want to speak, just take yourself off of mute. So just to clarify the question, why is having an agenda so important to the coaching collaboration?
Hi, Sue. If you don't have an agenda, you can't really move forward and you'll be wasting your client's time and your time.
Okay, and so thank you. That's great. And what if the client comes to the call and does not have an agenda as a coach? What are the tools and skills that you're learning and learning to apply that could distill the client to come up with an agenda?
Asking questions. How was your week? What are you thinking? What are you doing? What did you do today? Just something to kind of jar them to say something that will help you proceed forward with the session.
Great. And we'll open this up to everyone. Sue, exactly right. I'm just going to add on that the questions are the powerful questions that, the document that I said, and it's in your reading. I'm not sure what page it's on here. But to use your listening skills, to use the powerful questions. And there still may be a time where the client, even asking powerful questions, still can't come up with a clear agenda. So maybe someone else joining in on the conversation, what is another way that you and the client can work together to come up with an agenda?
This is Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie.
So one of the things that I've utilized is when I'm working with somebody and they've made a commitment or set some initiatives, if there seems to be a lot of, we're in kind of a nebulous space starting out, I'll bring them back to the initiatives that they set from our last conversation and kind of follow up as a beginning point.
Great. So sort of a check-in from maybe mm-hmm. their own work from the previous session to help facilitate where they're going in this session?
Correct. Yes.
Great. Awesome. Another great tool. What about brainstorming? Could that be a way for the coaching client to come up with an agenda?
It's Joy. I think it's a great way. That way you're already collaborating on something and exploring, and I think it's a wonderful way to bring up the agenda, which will rise to the surface.
And so brainstorming actually can be considered really a big part of the agenda. Like, it's a great place to just throw out everything and see what sticks. Because I think I said this maybe a couple of sessions ago that I had a session with a private client who didn't have an agenda, and she says, I know we'll get to one because that's what we do, right? And we certainly did. But it's really important here to understand that I'm instilling upon all of you to, when we set the framework for this coaching collaboration, the number one tool that we talked about last week in the five steps of the simple coaching model is specifying the client's agenda, because it really navigates and it sets, sort of the roadmap for where you're going. And you want to really listen to the words that they're using, to the details, and maybe taking some notes. I always take notes. It's just a personal preference so I can reflect back. And really, again, distill down to what they want to get, which is where we're going next, out of the session. So really, really important. Let's turn to page 108. And about halfway down, it says clarifying the client's agenda. And let's get Christine. Would you mind reading just those first two paragraphs, please.
Under clarifying my client's agenda?
Correct.
Okay. The client's agenda is more than just the topic of discussion for the session. The client's agenda includes the details surrounding the topic and what the client wants to take away from the session. The first phase of your coaching session is about setting the stage. You may be tempted to rush through this part to get into more dynamic coaching, but don't. Make sure their agenda is clear before you proceed.
Great. Great. And Carla, would you just read the rest of the page, please?
Okay. As your client begins to share what is on their mind, listen closely for the key points that compose their agenda. One, the specific topic they want to explore in the session. Any important details about the topic, what exactly they want to take away from the session. This could be a shift in perspective, solutions, or next steps.
Great. So again, it's just the way that we're listening, how we are engaging in conversation, the questions that we're asking, again, to help the client come to some specific point of focus for their call. Does it have the opportunity to shift during an hour call? Absolutely. But you want to hold the client's agenda, just like in the studio as a yoga teacher. You're holding this space, right, for your clients to show up fully and authentically in what is present for them in that moment. So it's maybe what is present for you in the hour of your vinyasa practice today. Maybe you're working with an injury. Maybe you're exhausted. Maybe you're starving, right? And it's the same thing when you enter in a call, even though you're building on previous calls, like Jamie said, you know, talking about the OM work to actually jumpstart into the next session. It really is about what is up for this client today. So there's the smaller agenda, and there's actually the bigger vision, which would be more of their SMART goals. So I just want to clarify that it's super important to establish that in the beginning of any call before you get into more of the specifics. Any questions on clarifying the client's agenda? Great. Okay, and let's continue on. We'll turn just right next door, page 109. Let's see. Genevieve, do you mind reading right under the three bullet points? So if you are listening, it's in bold.
All right. If you are listening closely, the client will usually tell you exactly what they want out of the session in the first 1 to 5 minutes of the session. If you don't hear it, it's critical to ask, what would you like to take away from the session?
Great. And hopefully you guys can remember the coach-to-coach sessions, and that typically goes in conjunction with or sort of right after, and it can also be a way to specify the agenda. So asking the client, what do they want to accomplish? What are they looking to get out of the call with you today? And hopefully you had a chance to read through sort of this example right here and on the second page. So there's some examples. But right now I want to turn to page, and there's no chronology to this, back to page 88. And Genevieve, would you continue reading just the first paragraph, please, top of the page?
Specifying the agenda and determining what the client wants to take away from the session distinguishes coaching from all other professional engagements. The client has established a map for effectiveness in determining the agenda and desired outcome. The result will be the experience and model of mastery.
And there was no agenda on my part to have you read that specifically, but I just recall in the beginning when we started you know, you coming from your background of counseling and really wanting to get a grasp more on the coaching piece. And it really is a discerning factor to have the client come to the call with an agenda and a takeaway, because remember, they're driving. They're driving the collaboration. You're there to support them and hold them accountable for the things that they say are important to them. So in this piece, it's really again, another discerning moment between what coaching is and what it isn't. The other piece that comes in here that I often see when we're first starting out and building our muscles as strong coaches is hijacking the agenda. Can someone share with the group how they understand hijacking the agenda and what would be the downfall of that as a coach?
This is Carla.
Thanks, Carla. Go ahead.
My opinion, if you hijack the agenda of your client, is the moment that you are filling in everything with your opinions and telling the client what's the best thing for the client to do, instead of let the client find it out for herself and discover the answer that's the best for her. And by hijacking it, you frustrate the whole collaboration thing, because there will not be a collaboration. It's you telling the client what to do, and that's not what the coach is supposed to do.
Exactly. And I think as a society, as a culture, if we think about our relationships with our friends, our family, our colleagues, how at least I'll speak for me, you know, sometimes I want to just jump in there. And I do it less now that I'm a coach and I have these tools, but we want to just jump in there and try to fix someone or try to help them one, or try to, maybe it's our ego talking. We want to appear like we are, you know, we have this wonderful wisdom and knowledge to bestow, but really it's so impactful and it's so empowering when the client comes up with this themselves. Great. Okay. Let's see. We're getting a little echo here, so if you're not speaking, I would just please ask that you put yourself on mute. So I would like to ask Joyce, come off mute, and just read the middle paragraph on page 88, please.
If the agenda is not crystal clear to you, further specify and ask questions until you fully understand what the client wants. This is a crucial step in the beginning of a coaching session. Proceed into the session only when you have full clarity yourself and have co-created with the client the specific focus and the desired outcome.
Great. I feel like that makes it, you know, pretty clear what we're trying to do here. And then the last paragraph is what I've already mentioned, that brainstorming is also a legitimate agenda in and of itself. Awesome. It seems pretty straightforward as you're reading it and we're discussing it, but oftentimes it's not necessarily the easiest thing to do when you're actually coaching it. But we'll listen for it again today. And listen for it in your practice coaching sessions with whoever you're working with, and just continue to build that muscle. Any questions on taking away something, what the client wants to take away from the session, what they want to accomplish in the session?
Sasha, can you actually ask them? I was working with someone yesterday, and they really were kind of all over the place. And I listened for a while, and then I said, well, let's come up with something today like some little something today that we can focus on. I mean, she had to think about it, but she did come up with something. I mean, can you be that blatant?
Yeah, there. You know, really, it's about asking open-ended questions to enable them to really think about what's important to them in that moment, and that's where the powerful questions really come into play to elicit that dialogue. But it can be something as simple as, you know, what's up for you today? How are you feeling? Is there an area that you're feeling stuck? I mean, you can get as specific as you want. But the whole point of this is to make it a collaborative experience versus the coaches hijacking the agenda. Mm-hmm. Not hijacking, but maybe making one up for them. Do we want it to come from them?
Mm-hmm.
So any kind of questions that you feel would be helpful and useful into helping them get more specific, totally work. Absolutely. Any other questions on this piece?
I have a question about the brainstorming session.
Okay.
This is Carla. When the client requests a brainstorming session for both of you to creatively think about a particular issue, do I understand correctly that when this is the case, I'm allowed to say what I'm really thinking, or do I have to keep the position of coach and asking the client so that the client is actually brainstorming with herself the whole time?
Right. That is a brilliant question. I love that question. Thank you for asking it. You know, brainstorming typically defined is meaning everyone is contributing to...
Can you please repeat the question because I couldn't hear it?
I think, if I understood Carla correctly, that when you're in the brainstorming mode, is the coach allowed to, you know, infuse their ideas? Or are you still continuing to ask the questions to allow the client to do more of the brainstorming? And it's a great question. So here, I think you have a little bit more latitude. You still want all of the decisions, the agenda to come from the client. But you can infuse a little bit like, what would it look like if this? You know, if you wanted to make a suggestion, but ask it in a way, again, that it elicits a response that comes from them internally and not from you externally. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Sasha.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's a brilliant question. Thank you. Okay,
sometimes you think that the client doesn't really know what the agenda is.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point of this. And I think brainstorming, when someone comes to the call and like, you know what, I have no idea what I want to talk about today. And then some very, very infrequently will someone come to the call and say, well, my agenda for today is, and you might get a client that does that if they choose to articulate in that way. But each session can be different, right? And so I'm just giving you guys the tools and the principles that you're going to use in case this situation arises. If they come to the call with an agenda, you're smooth sailing right from the beginning. But this is more challenging when the client does not have an agenda. And so you want to use your powerful questions to try to get them to think in different ways to come up with something that you can work with during that call. Okay, thank you, Sue. All right, if there are no other questions, just briefly glance at page 89. You don't even have to turn the page on delivering powerful questions and, you know, just reading through these bullet points very quickly, directing what they do is they direct the flow of the session. They gather useful data. They help develop rapport, facilitate a growth mindset versus a stuck one, and it stimulates insight. So I can't emphasize enough how much I would encourage you to get comfortable with the powerful questions. And the document that I sent you has got a whole great list of places to start with. I want to talk a little bit about a yoga parallel in delivering powerful questions. So right after the bullet points that I read, just that next section, that next paragraph, Jamie, would you read that for us, please? And she's probably trying to get off mute.
I had to, yeah.
That's okay. No problem.
And I just lost my page. So we're on
page 89, the first paragraph under the bullet points.
It is the coach's responsibility.
Correct.
To keep the session. It is the coach's responsibility to keep the session moving in a useful direction. Asking questions enables the coach to facilitate the session to continually explore who the client is, what the client wants, and what both can do to co-creatively achieve the client's focus. The client's answers tell the coach where to go next with the coaching.
Great, thank you. And either you or anyone else in the group to draw a parallel to how this would serve you in the yoga studio on your mat.
As a yoga teacher, the responsibility is to keep the class moving in a useful direction, right? I'm trying to take this paragraph into a yogic context.
Okay.
Asking questions, you ask questions in a yoga class. Enables the teacher to facilitate spaces. Can you explore where the client is? I think all you could do is model. I'm trying to figure out what the correlation is between yoga and this paragraph.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead and read down the next paragraph.
Yoga teacher.
Go ahead and read the next paragraph out loud.
When a coach asks a meaningful question in response to something the client has said, the client feels heard, rapport builds between the coach and the client.
So Genevieve gave an amazing example, I'm not sure if his last session or the session before, about when she was working with a student, and the student came back, I don't know how many times, but at one point they had a conversation, and Genevieve allowed the student to feel heard and seen by her acknowledgement of what that student was doing in class. And maybe she had to ask some questions first, but she set the stage. She held the space. She enabled the student and or the client to show up exactly who they are in that moment so that the collaboration continues to take place, right? If there's any, when you cut something in half, when you just pull apart, if there's any pulling apart, and that's certainly not the word that I was looking for, pulling apart, then the client is not going to feel heard. The student is not going to feel heard or seen. But that is the most important piece, because I think even Joyce said when she met with that stranger on the street, she felt heard and seen and loved in a way that she hopes that she can be with everyone. And so that's more of what I'm looking for. So it's not, you know, absolutely a direct correlation, but it's a place that we can continue to build our muscle.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Sue. Anyone else want to add to this, drawing a parallel and how powerful questions can serve on the mat?
This is Genevieve.
Thanks.
So I did a private the other day, and it was just that. I mean, I didn't, you know, she didn't come here, and I said, okay, this is what we're going to do. She came in, and we sat down, and I said, okay, so, you know, what is it that you'd like to work on in your practice? What's going on for you? And that's a really great example, because I gave the private according to what she was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. And just from that, you know, asking questions accordingly from what was happening in the moment.
Awesome example. And maybe I should have clarified the question, because like Sue said, you're not going to ask. Unless you're talking to a student before or after class individually, you're not going to ask the group, you know, any powerful questions, but maybe more so in private. So great, listening to what their needs are and then serving from there. Great, thanks, Genevieve. Okay, really quickly, let's turn, before we get into our coach to coach, page 95. And I would like for anyone, doesn't matter, to just read those bullet points. Yes. Go ahead.
I didn't hear what page.
Page 95.
Okay.
And you guys put yourself back on mute to take away that echo, please. Thanks. And then, Joyce, if you would, Christine, if you would take yourself on mute and just read those bullet points and just just integrating this piece about listening.
Okay. First, put your ego in a blind trust. Don't take it personally. Listen to the language, whether active or passive. Listen to the point of reference, whether internal or external. Listen to the source of authority, whether self or other. Listen for the initiation of action, whether proactive or reactive. Listen for how centered the speaker is in his or her experience. Listen for the state of mind of the speaker and whether the state of mind is regulated plus fits the task. Listen for self-reference in the first or second person.
Right. So that's a lot there, but it's just a reminder, just start this page. I mean, listening, and as I talked about in the very beginning, is one of the most powerful tools you can bring to the coaching relationship, two ears and one mouth. So if you never remember anything, which that's not the case, you'll remember me for making that statement. And so listening and asking powerful questions are really going to serve you very, very well in building that coaching muscle. So thanks for sharing, Christine. Okay, it is the top of the hour, and we are going to get into our coaching call with Jamie being the coach, Christine being the client, and Genevieve being the observer. But before we do that, the agenda that we have, that I have set for each of the coaching calls, is for someone, it doesn't have to be any of those three, that it can be, to state out loud to the group what the five steps of the simple coaching model are. Eventually, I'd like you to do it without your book, but we're just starting out. So if you want to use your book, it starts on page 97, and just unmute yourself and speak away.
access identities, specifying the client's agenda, obviously from today's call, the most important thing. And determining when is our useful intervention moments.
Great.
And then once you've done that, I suppose had some conversation around that, shifting their perspective, helping them to see something that, well, the intervention moment was something that you saw, so shifting the perspective and helping them see what it is that they may not be seeing. And then framing the session. What's that?
No, go ahead. Framing the session, and then number five.
And then number five is following up.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So the group is going to be listening for these things during the call. So everyone but Jamie and Christine, please mute yourselves. Jamie, just give us a minute to do that. Watch your time. We've got about 2 minutes after, so you can go to 4:17 and have a great session.
Thanks. Hi, Christine. Christine?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thanks. And you'll be happy
good.
To know that I have an agenda today.
Oh! So, just a quick question. Are you feeling a need to ground, or would you like to go ahead and just step right into your agenda?
I think I'm good to jump right in. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, great. So what would you like to focus on, and what would you like to take away from our time together today?
Okay. Well, my particular challenge at the moment is trouble saying no, but not in a traditional sense. A lot of people, I think, have trouble saying no because they're people pleasers. I've gotten pretty good at saying no to projects that don't resonate with me, or I don't feel are a good match for my strengths. But I'm just really interested in a lot of things, and so for every one thing that I'm able to say no, that's not going to work for me, there's 10 more things that I'm fascinated by and interested in. So what I would like to get, I think, is some strategies maybe for not feeling like I'm going to be missing out if I say no to a project. So many things are interesting to me, but I understand that I only have so many hours in a day. I have family commitments. You know, there's only so much I can do. I realize that. I'm kind of coming from a place where I lost my daughter 6 years ago, and very much a place of, don't be afraid to do things. I know that life is short, and you know, you regret the things you don't do. And it's an attitude that served me well in a lot of instances. But I can't do everything. I need to be able to say no to some things and not feel like I'm missing out on every opportunity, the tremendous opportunity that I'm not going to be able to do.
So just to clarify, what I'm hearing you touch on is saying no, that focusing on that particular behavior. But it's not necessarily saying no to a person because you feel as though you have clear boundaries in that respect, but saying no to different activities that come into your kind of field of view. Am I understanding that correctly?
You are. You are. And what I'm struggling with is not saying no in general so much as saying no to things that I find interesting.
Okay.
A lot of things.
So can you describe to me a little bit more like how that's actually working in your life? Is it a sense of kind of having an empty place that's suddenly too full, or what brought this to your attention, in other words?
Okay, I think I am looking for a new job. I'm unemployed as of today. And I had decided to go back to school, so I have 3 classes in addition to this class. I wrote a book, and so I'm promoting the book, and I said, well, gee, I want to write another book. And I think I'm feeling that the job search or the adjusting to a new job when I find one is going to be really difficult because I have so many other things going on. I think maybe it was working okay when I had the job I had because I'd worked there for 10 years. I knew what to expect. It was very, I understood what I was doing. I think it's a little intimidating to embark on a job search under any circumstances.
Mm-hmm. What would it be like to what is it like for you to say no to an activity?
I feel like if it's an activity that really resonates with me, I feel like I'm going to miss out on something.
And what is it that you feel like you're going to miss out on?
I love new ideas. They're very exciting to me. And I feel by saying no, I feel like I try to be open, and I try to say yes to a lot of experiences, and that's been very good for me. Saying no, it doesn't make me feel guilty. It just makes me feel that I'm going to miss something great.
So when you think of the word no, what does that bring to mind for you? What does that word mean to you, no?
Basically, it just means stop. It isn't going to work. I don't know that it's exclusively negative for me.
So, and this is just a thought that's coming to me that I'll share. Is it possible to have all of the activities kind of in your periphery and have a different idea about not doing them right now instead of a sense of no?
So more of a later than a no. Or a maybe than a no.
How does that feel? Using a different word to come at this situation?
That feels better. That feels better. A maybe or a later, or that feels better than a no, I can't. It feels less restrictive.
Uh-huh. So would you be able to switch words?
I might be able to. I'm not sure if it's going to make me feel better long term, sitting here thinking about how that feels, thinking, imagining myself saying later or maybe. Certainly feels better in the short term, but in the long term, I wonder if I would still feel that I was missing out on something.
Uh-huh. So can you describe that a little bit more to me, that sense of missing out on something?
I just feel like I love the Eleanor Roosevelt quote that says, you should do one thing every day that scares you. And I had dealt with some anxiety a few years ago, and I got to the point where everything scared me. And I thought to myself, well, I need to start doing things that scare me, or I'm never going to leave the house. And since everything scares me, I might as well start doing the big things, the yoga teacher training. And those have been huge. And I think, in a way, that it was a very good attitude. It helped me combat my anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say no to everything. Maybe I need to prioritize the things that I'm doing and you know, figure out which of them has the highest priority for me.
So say a little bit more about that. How that would show up for you in your life, prioritizing.
Okay. Well, looking at that, you know, if I say to myself, okay, I know that I only have so much energy and so much time, I feel like my family would be a priority. Going to school, it's proving more challenging than I expected it to. I haven't been a student in a really long time, and I want to do well, so I feel like that would be a priority. Looking for a job needs to be a priority. And maybe I could, if I were to focus on those things and then say, okay, you know, if there's time left, then you can do other things that appeal to you. But maybe there's not going to be time left every single day or every single week.
So when you imagine focusing and prioritizing, which is what I just heard you kind of describe, how does that feel in comparison to kind of that definitive no in terms of all of the different activities you'd like to do?
That feels a little better. It's more of a resigned feeling. It's a feeling of, okay, well, I'm still a little disappointed if I don't get to do everything that interested me, but, oh, well, I understand that for me these things are more important than perhaps other things. So it doesn't feel as uncomfortable. It doesn't feel as restrictive. It doesn't feel as end of the world, I'm going to miss something amazing.
Mm-hmm. So tell me your priorities again, how you would prioritize the different areas of your life right now.
Right now, I think my family would be number one.
Mm-hmm.
And my this class and my classes that I'm doing, my college classes that I'm doing online, would be number two.
Mm-hmm.
And finding a job. And then everything else, I think, would be less, not unimportant, but probably nothing else would be important, as important as those three.
Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, how does that refer back to saying no to something that comes your way that isn't part of one of those three priorities?
That actually makes it feel better because I said, okay, no, but I know that these other things have to be a priority, and if I devote the energy to this other thing, there's not energy for one of the things that I've said is a priority. So that makes sense.
So I heard you go from a place of almost absolutes to a place of structure with a tremendous amount of openness within it. From the no, the absolute, to the structure of these are my priorities today. Am I hearing correctly?
Yeah, I don't see myself as an absolute person, but certainly there may be an element of that. You know, sometimes we see, when we see ourselves, we see what we want to see. So,
well, I may have chosen a bad word. I apologize.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But I would certainly, I would want some coaching on seeing some things that maybe I'm oblivious to. I feel like that would be part
mm-hmm.
of the process for me.
Mm-hmm. So how, what do you feel like you can take away from our brief session today and what we might be able to, or how I might be able to assist you going forward in this whole area?
I feel like the priorities are a good thing. I think the whole job search thing has me feeling a little bit panicky. And I think that, you know, under other circumstances, I don't know that it would necessarily be a problem. I'm always very busy. I'm always doing a lot of things. But I think the whole unknown of what kind of a job I'm going to be able to get, I think that has me a little bit agitated with the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about it as the priorities that I'm not locked into, you can do this, you cannot do this. It's more of a reevaluate it on a day-to-day basis. What can you do today?
Mm-hmm. So is there a way or how you would like me to coach you around this structure of priorities, prioritizing?
I'm not sure. I think it's been really helpful for you to just help me get to that point where I could think of it in those terms.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for this time.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Great job, ladies. You can stay on mute if you are on mute, except for Genevieve and Jamie and Christine. If you want to mute yourselves, you can. Genevieve, would you please facilitate our feedback discussion?
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, sorry, it was my phone. Let's see. I like how there was brought a question in the beginning about, do you feel the need to ground? Really immediately tapping into the needs of the client. And establishing the client's agenda, she did a great job of what it was that you know the client wanted to work on, and as far as when to ask a useful intervention. I think she did a great job of, finding that whole aspect about priorities. So she found something that she listened for, what Christine was saying and wanting, or she just heard something that could possibly help shift her perspective from, saying no to everything. And, she asked, questions around that. So she shifted the perspective with that. And then she framed it really well by saying, I heard you go from, definitely saying that no is something challenging for you to that it's possible making priorities for prioritizing your time and what's important to you, doesn't make the no sound as powerful. So she framed their time together pretty well. And then she asked how she would, what she wanted to take away, and then it was what she wanted to be coached around, how she wanted to be coached around the situation.
Great. Thanks, Genevieve. Who would like to add on, excluding Jamie and Christine, who would like to add their feedback to that coaching session?
I had one thing to add, though, quickly, which I found was interesting, was that Christine had mentioned something about all these things that come up that leaves her feeling in what I call FOMO, fear of missing out. that she said something about the thing that helps her, like something, she wants something to help her combat her anxiety. And I thought that was a pretty powerful statement for Christine to make, that wasn't really picked up on. If I were coaching, I think I would have heard that, because that's a pretty powerful statement to make, something that will help her combat her anxiety. I would have talked a little bit about that, maybe.
Great, and that's powerful listening. And there are so many ways you can go, but in 15 minutes, you know, it's super challenging. But absolutely, you definitely could have gone down that path. And who else would like to add in their feedback?
This is Carla.
Go ahead, Carla.
I think Jamie coached, the way of coaching that Jamie used is very, very clear and direct. And that's a great framework to work in.
Awesome.
She didn't leave any space for unclarity, or she makes everything really, really clear, but spot on. I love that.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else like to add in their feedback?
I didn't.
Hello?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hi, Joyce. I noticed that Jamie was completely present all the way through. I mean, that was the major takeaway that I got from this. And she asked a lot of very powerful questions. I could see where the shift took place. When she asked if she could maybe, instead of saying an absolute no, just put it on the back burner for a while to be considered later. And then, of course, with the prioritization, that all the way through, I felt that she was really listening to Christine.
Wonderful. Anyone else before I ask Jamie and Christine how they felt it went? Anyone? Okay, so let's start with Christine. Christine, how did that feel to you?
Two things that I noticed that I thought were great. One, we sort of connected in the middle there. We were both laughing, and I think humor is such a powerful tool to be able to connect with people. And certainly it's something I appreciate as the client. I think humor is just amazing. And the other thing that I thought was great is we had a big pause in there for a while, and sometimes we're really uncomfortable about silence. We feel like we have to jump in, and you know, Jamie, I think, was just processing what I was saying, and she didn't feel like she had to say something just to say something. She let it play out. When she was ready to talk, she talked, and I thought that was great.
And did that make you feel seen and heard?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Both of those things, the humor and the not being uncomfortable.
I love that insight because you're right, as a culture, we often find discomfort in our silences. I know for me, when I give that example of my ums, it's just a word to fill the silence. And the more we become grounded and centered in ourselves, the more that we can hold the space for those silences, because that's a lot of times where the transformation takes place. So thanks, Christine. Jamie, great job. How did that feel?
Well, it was difficult within the, I'm the one who's echoing, I guess.
No,
within the 15 minutes. I appreciated what Genevieve commented in terms of the anxiety, because what I was picking up on was that there was probably anxiety or fear underneath. And I really would have loved to have spent another 45 minutes. so I felt very constrained by the amount of time, which is why I purposely stayed with the no and the prioritizing as what I would almost consider. For me, I felt like there was so much more that we could have gotten into. And I didn't feel really good about the way that I ended it. I felt like that was rather abrupt. I didn't know what else to say. It's like, So that was my anxiety at the end. But I really appreciated Christine and the way that she was completely there and obviously wanted to be coached and had an agenda, and that was just lovely to work with somebody who was that willing and able. So thank you, Christine.
I hear you on everything that you've said and everything everyone else has said. You know, this is a intimate setting of our peers and colleagues, and we're all in this together, and to be willing to step in face of discomfort for the purpose and experience is just, in my opinion, there is just no substitute for that. So, you know, you all signed up for this program, know about this piece, but you're all stepping in with great courage and be willing to take a look, have your some feedback and some insight to help you go from good to great. And it's challenging in 15 minutes. It's hard. Like if you had an hour, it would be so much easier. Authenticity. So a few things for you, Jamie, that I noticed. I love, and I always lead in with the grounding, but it's always good to check in because your client may have already done a grounding prior to the call. So it's always a great piece to inquire. The next thing I thought you did super well was you reflected back, right? You're holding up that mirror and making sure that you're understanding the words exactly as Christine is sharing them, because sometimes, you know, it can be, interpretation can be lost, translation can be lost. So just reflecting back what you hear is really, really important. A little bit of what Randy did last week, in that keep your questions concise and specific. Your first question in the beginning was, how is it showing up for you? That's brilliant. That's powerful. That's enough. But and I don't know what you were feeling in that moment, but our tendency to sort of add on more, and then you gave her some suggestions. Allow her or whoever, your client, to come up with, just answer that question on their own without you giving some suggestions. It's just more impactful. But how is it showing up for you in your life? It's very, very powerful. Again, you could have gone in so many different directions, and I know you felt restricted in the time. What came up for me, I think if I was coaching Christine, I would have focused more on the behavior. Like, where did you learn this? You know, the tendency to want to do everything, to have anxiety around saying no. And sort of get more into her body. Where is she feeling it? What has the experience been versus the word? So maybe take it on your mat a little bit and have it be a somatic experience. It's just one example. It's not this is the way to do it. It's just an example of where my mind went through the coaching call. And yeah, you came to the aha moment. You know, the priority is you put her right into action. The only thing I didn't hear was the follow-up in terms of what she's committed to and the time that you can check in with her on that. Okay, does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you for all that.
You're welcome. Okay, so we are complete with our call. Just to go over the homework, read pages 67 through 80 and 113 through 124. Again, this is on your syllabus. And then review the simple coaching model steps, page 97 through 100. And then the in the yoga supplement, read page 5 on agenda and intentions and take the action challenge on page 6. Any final thoughts, questions before we say namaste? Okay, great. Thank you all so much for your time and attention. Randy, if you were with us, I think you were for a little bit. Thanks for being on the call in spirit. Listen to the recording, and I hope you guys have an abundant week. Reach out if you need anything, and I'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Namaste.
Thank you, guys. Namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste. Namaste.